Dr. Pinsky dictating a female IME on January 28th regarding Kristen, C-R-I-S-T-E-N, Ford, F-O-R-D. Kristen Ford is a 61-year-old woman who reports she was injured at work on two occasions. The first was on 8-9-20 when she sliced a tendon in her right thumb while using a slicer. She underwent surgery for this shortly thereafter to reattach the thumb tendon. Upon returning to work on 1-3-21, a co-worker smashed her wrist into Ms. Ford's thumb against a metal cage. She did not report this to her employer in a timely fashion, but believes she bruised her wrist as a result. She complains the supervisor refused to take a report from her regarding this incident. New paragraph. As per her first claim petition, Ms. Ford alleges on 8-9-20 she sliced a tendon in her right thumb while cleaning the deli slicer. According to her second claim petition, on 1-3-21, she injured her right hand moving a box. In paragraph, treatment records show she was seen on 8-19-20 by Dr. Marzik. He noted she was cleaning a slicer when she sliced the dorsum of the thumb on the right side. She did not seek out any treatment. She later was referred to AtlantiCare Urgent Care on 8-15-20. X-rays were done. They revealed some thumb IP and CMC arthritis not related to this injury, but there was no evidence of acute bony abnormality. She had been unable to pull the thumb back since the injury. She has a history of non-insulin-dependent diabetes mellitus. Past medical history was remarkable for Lyme disease, anxiety disorder, and increased cholesterol. She was already taking cefalexin, metformin, Xanax, and Ambien. He performed an exam, and she had no active EPL function, but she did have active thumb FPL function. She could not extend her interphalangeal joint. She has a superficial abrasion, more distal over the dorsal aspect of the proximal phalanx. She makes a full fist bilaterally and had full digital extension. There was no lymphangitis. She diagnosed right thumb extensor pollicis longus laceration, for which they discussed treatment options. On 8-25-20, Dr. Marzik performed surgery to be inserted here. New paragraph. I am also in receipt of the urgent care note from 8-15-20. She related cutting her right thumb 7 days ago and could not bend the finger. This occurred while she was cleaning the slicer. She had persistent drainage. She now could not fully extend her right thumb. She was diagnosed with a laceration of the thumb with tendon involvement. A wrist splint was applied. She was to follow up with a hand specialist and occupational health. It was then that she sought care with Dr. Marzik. In paragraph, postoperatively, she followed up with Dr. Marzik on 9-23-20. record, there was no swelling, and she had intact tendon function clinically. She would come out of her splint to accept scar massage and desensitization. She was going to start formal therapy and return in 3 weeks. Period. Actually, that visit was, 9/23/20. Put this before that visit. On 9/2/20, she saw Dr. Marzik in follow-up when her sutures were removed. They were going to cast her for a couple of weeks to protect the repair period. On 12/16/20, she related to Dr. Marzik. She did not think she had the strength required to lift the 20-pound meat in the delicatessen. However, her strength was improving. A couple of days ago, she got her right hand crushed and has a superficial abrasion over the dorsum of the right thumb. She was trying to remove an air conditioner that she lost control of and scraped the back of her right thumb. Exam found superficial abrasion healing over the dorsum of the right thumb, proximal phalanx, and metacarpal with no signs of infection. She had good EPL and FPL function. The plan was for her to finish out 2 weeks of formal therapy. She could return to work without restrictions on 1/3/21. New paragraph. On 1/13/21, she saw Dr. Marzik again, relating that upon her return to work, she had a crush injury to her hand when she was moving some cheese, and a co-worker pushed into her with a cart, causing her hand to be crushed along the radial side of her wrist. But she called out after a couple of days off and said she was terminated from work. She never formally filed a new injury claim. Upon exam, she had a little reddened area where she had the new injury right over the first dorsal compartment, which is markedly tender. She had positive tenales along the radial sensory nerve in the area. She could make a full fist, her scar was healed, was well healed, had good EPL and FPL function, and symmetric wrist flexion and extension. He discharged her from care at maximum medical improvement relative to the right thumb extensor pollicis brevis repair. He stated they were unable to treat her for the latest alleged work injury. New paragraph, however, on 4/5/21. She returned to Dr. Marzik. In the interim, she had a need for treatment exam by Dr. Zook on 2/24/21. He confirmed the diagnosis of right deep vein synovitis. He recommended a follow-up x-ray and possible injection. She was wearing a splint at times and was not currently working. She was terminated from her position shortly after her new injury in January and was not doing any other work. Repeat x-rays were done in the office showing some arthritic changes of her thumb CMC joint, which is not symptomatic. He also diagnosed right deep vein tenosynovitis, which a corticosteroid injection was administered. Her last visit with Dr. Marzik was on 4/28/21. The decoid vein tenosynovitis was somewhat improved, and so he recommended a short course of therapy. If she was working, she could do modified duty. She was going to return in 4 weeks with anticipated maximum medical improvement. It does not appear that she followed up for that anticipated visit. Physical exam. Extremities upper. Range of motion of the right wrist was full in all spheres with tenderness but no crepitus. Motion of the left wrist, both elbows and shoulders, was full in all planes without crepitus or tenderness. Right thumb MCP flexion was mildly limited to 40 degrees. Paired interphalangeal flexion was mildly decreased to 75 degrees. Paired motion of the thumbs and remaining finger joints was full in all plants without crepitus, tenderness, triggering, or locking. Period. During JAMR hand anemometry, she complained of severe pain at the third setting, so that trial was discontinued. Period. Impressions on 8-9-20. Kristen Ford sustained a laceration to her right thumb while cleaning a delicatessen slicer. Paired, she evidently was seen at occupational health and was quickly referred to a specialist consultation. Paired, she was seen by Dr. Marzip beginning 8-19-20. Paired, on 8-25-20, he performed surgery to be inserted here. Ms. Ford followed up postoperatively and was released to return to work, full duty, in early January 2021. Paired, new paragraph, she then allegedly sustained another injury to her hand when it was pushed into a metal cage or when she was lifting a box. Paired, Dr. Marzik thought she had decubitus tenosynovitis. Paired, she was then seen by Dr. Zook in that regard. Paired, she returned to Dr. Marzik and accepted a corticosteroid injection with improvement. Paired, it does not appear that she followed up with him as advised. Paired, new paragraph, the current examination found the petitioner to have a smell of tobacco about her. Period. She had mildly decreased range of motion about the right thumb, perhaps volitional in nature. Period. Similarly, she complained of tenderness with wrist motion in all spheres. Period. She complained of severe pain shortly after JAMR hand anemometry was begun, so this had to be discontinued. Period. Provocative maneuvers at the hands were negative. Period. Spine cervical is normal. New paragraph, there is 10% permanent partial disability referable to the right thumb. Period. There is 0% permanent partial disability referable to the statutory right hand. Period. End.